Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. With me, James Shakeshaft.
And me, Alistair Beckett King.
And Alistair, it's another deputy episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not a recurring law person, is it?
It is. It's a third timer for Yuriko Kitani.
Yeah, woo woo woo.
Oh, you doing your Lucky Cat impression?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that won't work because that hasn't happened in the podcast yet.
No, that joke will make sense later. Hey, Alistair Beckett King.
Hello, James Shakeshaft.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Fine.
Well, Alistair, I'm itching to get started on this episode.
You've come steaming in here.
I have, actually. We've got a guest law person, a deputy.
Oh, right.
We've got a recurring deputy law person.
Well, let's dispense with the flim-flam, for goodness sake, James.
Returning deputy law person.
Recurring and returning?
Yes. It's Yuriko Kitani.
Hello, Yuriko.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Right, I clap. I just did that entrance.
You did clap yourself, but we weren't going to draw attention to it.
Oh, no.
Or join in, it turns out.
Nope, absolutely not. No, I'll clap now.
Too late.
And you can just lay that.
Oh,
right, okay, all right.
Okay. Oh, you just did one.
I'm going to do one clap and I'll loop it because I'm ever
just
so lazy.
Just loop that one clap, yeah.
Mm. How's it going, Yuriko?
Very good, thank you. I'm enjoying Edinburgh Fringe preparation.
Oh, and we're so close. We're so, not to stress you out, but we're so close.
It's so nearly now.
You know what? It's going to be good and fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no proof it isn't going to be good and fun. Yes.
Are you? I take it you're doing a show.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what I was saying. The Edinburgh Fringe is happening in my brain. But yes,
no.
I'm taking my show and it's going to be good, run, fun. I repeat to myself.
What's the show called this year?
This is my work.
This is my work.
Ooh, nice.
Yes. Reflecting
like
your serious and business-like approach to stand-up comedy. A lot of people don't realise that Yuriko is one of the most cutthroat, hard-nosed comedians on the circuit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She will just stab you in the back as quick as betray you. Yeah.
Not even
trying to deny it. She's proud of it.
Yeah. Business. They're a business. Mm.
That's what everyone says about Yuriko. Very business.
But Yuriko, just a quick sort of roundup of your previous appearances on the podcast. We've talked the Jin Man Ken, the human faced dog.
Leave me alone.
Which, of course, has the catchphrase, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Ideally said whilst rooting through bins for food.
Yeah, scrabbling around the bins.
Yeah.
That's what I say it.
For me, that conjures up memories of Edinburgh.
You weren't there last year, James. The bins were on strike.
Oh, the bins were actually quite bad, weren't they?
Yeah, the refuse collectors were on strike and blimey, they made their point.
Yes.
Those bins said, leave me alone.
A lot of the punters said that when you tried to fly them.
Yeah, because they've got nowhere to put the flyers anymore. They used to go straight in the bin.
I saw one. Well, my flyer was on the floor, and then on the pavement
with the classic footprint on the face.
Oh yes, many footprints, and I pick it up, and I still have it with me.
Do you have a little locket? Do you carry it always?
Oh, maybe I should. I should make it small, and carry it with my crystals. Yes.
Fold it up and put it in your breast pocket, and then if you're shot by a baddie at some point, maybe it'll stop the bullet.
It'd be awful if it didn't, though.
Yeah.
Like not only did they not come to the show, did stop the bullet. So that's a double failure.
Yeah.
Anxiety and a death all together.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's Edinburgh.
That's Yuriko's other nickname. It's all business and also anxiety and death. Two catchphrases.
Well, your other previous appearance on the show was to discuss the Japanese, is it a yokai? The kappa.
Yokai.
Sorry.
Kappa, yes.
Kappa.
Mm-hmm.
The Shirikodama loving aquatic beast.
With a little dish in his head, I remember.
It's got a little dish in its head full of water, and if you can trick it into bowing, that will incapacitate it because the water will spill from the bowl, thus incapacitating the kappa. And
incredible
all
design flaw. It's so easy to hotwire a kappa.
That is, I'd say, an argument against intelligent design.
But in winter, the water would freeze and the kappa would have limitless power.
Would be unstoppable.
Wow, I never saw wow.
No, that's a very good point, actually.
I've stunned myself with that revelation, which quite likely I also said when we recorded the episode and we've all forgotten. There's a very good chance that we're retreading old riffs here.
Yes, so let's move on to your third appearance and what we're going to be talking about this time. It's sort of a yokai. It's the tanuki.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that word before.
You have?
Have you heard it? Where have you heard it?
I have heard it in a little-known indie franchise called Super Mario the Plumber.
Super Mario Plumbers.
That's what it's called, Super Mario Plumbers.
Mario become tanuki. Tanuki Mario.
I have to be clear, for me, it was Raccoon Mario, because that's what it said.
Yes.
And I would say to my mum when I played it on the Super Nintendo or SNES, he's become a raccoon and now he can fly. And she would say, why can a raccoon fly? And I would say, oh, mum, with his tail, obviously. And now in retrospect, that doesn't make any sense. So please explain that.
Well, the tanuki is a Japanese raccoon dog.
Wait, it's a dog. It's a raccoon dog.
It's referred to as a raccoon dog. And I've done some cursory research on the various forms of dog-like creature, which runs the full gamut from polar bear, the biggest.
What?
All the way down to the smallest, the least weasel.
The smallest dog is called the least weasel.
Yeah.
A polar bear has a dog. That's mind-blowing information.
I knew it. I knew that bears were dogs because bears look like people in dog costumes. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
But if a bear tells you, leave me alone, you leave it alone.
Definitely.
I mean, they are massive.
On people in bear costume news, there was a recent report. I say report. There was a recent news story.
I think this is really serious news if it's the story I have heard also.
About the sun bear in China.
Nope, that's not a totally different story. Carry on.
There's a load of people saw a bear in a zoo in China standing on its hind legs. And because of the way its skin folded up at the back and it was stood up very straight, it did very much look like a human in a bear costume. And that became a story in the news. As spokesman pointed out, it was 40 degrees heat. If there had been a human in a bear costume, they would have died.
It's just science.
Yeah, it's simple science.
My shockingly similar story was there was a news report about a Japanese guy who has a very realistic dog costume that he wears.
Oh, is that the collie man?
Yeah, and it's been reported as Japanese man dresses up as border collie, and it's nonsense because it's not a border collie, it's a rough collie. He looks like Lassie. A border collies are black and white. It's ridiculous. Get your facts straight, the internet. It's not a border collie.
Yeah, details, please.
Has this guy got a catchphrase, perchance? Wowzers. The tanuki in real life is quite prevalent in Japan. I read a stat, which I think must have been a misprint. It says that a conservative estimate is that 370,000 are killed a year on the roads.
Whoa.
That's a lot. That's more, I've done the math, so you don't have to. That's more than 1,000 a day.
That, I mean, tanuki, guys, if you're getting tired, pull over. What are they doing?
Yeah.
They should put a sign up.
Yeah. Are you a tanuki? Then stop.
Have a rest, please.
That's sad.
That's too many.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
And that's got to be a decimal point in the wrong place.
I'm going to reanimate the start of Spirited Away and have a realistic number of raccoons bouncing off the bonnet of the car as they wind down the country lanes to make it more accurate.
Just a little bit of realism, please, Ghibli. Boom.
What was that? No time. We've got to turn into pigs.
Yes.
Don't stop. Keep going.
Oh, no.
Spoilers. Quick. Spoilers for the first 10 minutes of Spirited Away.
They don't run over any tanuki.
Double spoilers. Inaccurately, they don't hit a single tanuki.
So that's the real tanukis, the Japanese raccoon dogs.
Mm-hmm. Constantly dying on the roads.
The tanukis I want to talk to you about are the tanukis of folklore. And they are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheeky, they're kooky, they're lazy, they're like a sake.
They're like a cheeky sake, do they?
They're like a cheeky sake.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I would say, straight in at number one, they've got the largest, how to put this politely, Yuriko. Mm-hmm.
Yuriko's pulling a facial expression here. Mm. What could possibly be large about these raccoons?
Well, in the Ghibli film Pompoko, which is all about tanuki, they are... The thing I'm trying to dance around is referred to as a raccoon pouch.
Right, like a kangaroo.
No, these pouches are lower down than... usually come in pairs.
I think you're going to have to switch your camera on and start miming, James. How else can we know what you mean?
Yes.
Show us your pouch, James.
So they're the sort of pouches you might find between the legs.
Not just one.
Yeah, usually in pairs. Yeah. Often in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Seldom in threes. Sometimes just the one.
Mm-hmm. True.
So if you go to Japan, Alistair, you're likely to see shops. And outside those shops, you're likely to see a little sort of statue.
A little guy. I've seen that him. What does he do?
That's a friendly little tanuki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say, Yuriko? Is it kind of a good luck thing?
Never thought about it. I thought it's just what it is.
It's just a raccoon there. There's just your usual shop raccoon.
Tanuki usually holding a big bottle of sake, big belly, the pouches, and wearing hat.
According to Wikipedia, they have 8 traits, these statues.
Oh, I love this.
They each have a different meaning.
Oh my God, so philosophical, yes. Mm-hmm.
So they have a hat, and that is to be ready to protect against trouble or bad weather.
I want it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got big eyes to perceive the environment and help to make good decisions.
That's what eyes are for.
Exactly. They have a sake bottle, and that represents virtue.
Does it?
Sake being alcohol or booze.
Just for the European listeners, he's talking about sake. Sake. That's what we call it here.
I'm talking.
We call it sake.
We're talking about sake.
He's just pronouncing it correctly, so don't be confused.
Thank you. Thank you for translating.
I'm just going to translate into ignorant.
They have a big tail that provides steadiness and strength until success is achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Mario is all about that.
These raccoons are all business. To me, they're sort of the animal version of Yuriko.
Well, you know what that oversized scrotum symbolises?
we're on the tanuki here, not Yuriko.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that symbolises financial luck.
Oh, so they don't actually, because I've seen those, obviously in pictures, I've seen them standing outside shops, and I always assumed that, I don't know, you put a coin in the top and it buffs your shoes with its pouch. I don't know what I thought happened. I assumed they performed a function like those rides outside the supermarket for kids.
Or the little blind boy.
Yes, it was collecting money, maybe.
No, I don't think they don't have a slot in them. They're not for money. They're just for, I think, general good luck.
Yeah, I've never thought... Why? Because, for example, Lucky Cat. Do you know Lucky Cat? Yeah,
this is the guy with the gold cat with the arm who's always punching you.
Yes, punch you down.
He's for luck, is he?
So these Lucky Cat are welcoming fortune, prosperity. Right.
Mm-hmm. Are they waving it in or are they beckoning it?
Like, come in.
Come in.
I always thought it was like that woo 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 gesture that people did in the 90s, you know, like woo
woo,
a sort of lad culture.
I'm cheering on good luck.
Mm.
Oh, the cheering luck.
Yeah, yeah.
So, woo, go woo, luck.
Luck.
Love you, luck.
Go on, luck, you good thing. I've got three more traits.
Oh, yeah.
Promissory note that represents trust or confidence, and a big belly that symbolizes bold and calm decisiveness, and finally, a friendly smile.
Important.
That's the eight traits of the Tanuki. And yeah, it took me a while of seeing them to realize quite what was going on downstairs. Mm-hmm. When you see it at a glance, it looks like they might have four legs.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize that the middle two legs are representing financial luck. So I've got a pretty scary tale for you.
Yeah.
Re-Tanukis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is retold by Lafcadio Hearn, who I believe we've talked about before on the Kappa episode.
Yeah, I remember that name.
He was of Greek and Irish ancestry.
He was a classic Greek Irishman.
He's a classic Greek Irishman, and he moved to Japan in 1890 as a correspondent for a newspaper and settled down there and became like a sort of quite a famous figure in Japan, I believe.
Mm. We can see just how famous he is from the noise Yuriko made there. Like, literally never heard of this person before. Famous.
He's written a number of books, and he's sort of like Western eye on that period of Japanese history.
Oh, yeah.
And there is, like, his house where he lived in is like a museum kind of thing in Japan. But he'd lived there 14 years. I realised the other day, I've got a mug that is 18 years old.
What kind of mug? What does
it say? It's a Superman mug from the film Superman Returns, which I think came out in, like, 2005 or something. I got it with an Easter egg. This is old enough to vote, this mug. It's old enough to drive and buy a pint, which wouldn't fit in it. Lafcadio Hearn, despite spending less time in Japan than this mug has spent in my cupboard, although to be fair, it is one of the more respected mugs in my cupboard.
It's a senior mug.
Yeah, is it because it's there for longer than other mugs? So respect.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think the other mugs, I hope the other mugs sort of look up to it for tips on how not to get chipped. Or have a handle get snapped.
For me, I think the period lifting the mug out of the suds as you're washing it to go to the drying area, that is the point at which 90% of my things get broken. That, for me, that's the danger zone.
Really?
It's already clean, but it's slippery, James.
Oh,
it's sudsy. It's covered in soap, and I've got to turn it and put it upside down on a little rack.
Mm.
Gone.
You need to get rinsing for a start, though. You can't be just leaving it sudsy.
Oh, it's all right for you, James. You've probably got one of those second sinks, like a little spare sink just for rinsing. Not everyone lives in an ivory castle with two sinks.
I haven't got a spare sink just for butlers.
You just pass it to your gentleman's gentleman and he washes it.
So this story is confusingly called Mujina, which is the name of a Japanese badger rather than a tanuki, which is also a real creature and also a folkloric creature that's a shapeshifter that's cheeky. But at one point, basically, Mujina and tanuki were interchangeable words, even though they actually referred to different animals.
Mm. Right.
But in this case, Lafcadio Hearn is referring to a tanuki. It's very confusing.
I'm Googling Mujina right now.
Mujina, the Japanese badger.
Mm.
Got it? Because it's not that. It's still a tanuki.
Just Google a picture of a badger and then immediately dismiss that from your mind because that isn't it.
Oh, we have a word. Onaji ana no mujina. Same hole mujina. We got a phrase which I knew.
What does that mean?
Means even though they're not related, it's nothing to do with you, but actually insane.
Wikipedia puts it, I think, the most succinctly but confusingly. Mujina is an old Japanese term primarily referring to the Japanese badger, but traditionally to the Japanese raccoon dog, tanuki, causing confusion. Adding to the confusion, it may also refer to the masked palm civet. Great. So there's three animals that it could be. Two of which are mythological. And in this case, as we'll find out when we read the story, it's referring to a shape-shifting animal that is never in its non-shape-shifted form. Okay, so, Mujina. This is a story from someone who died 30 years previously.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, as a rough guess, Lafcadio heard it around 1895. So this is someone who died by 1865, and it happened to them when they were younger. So we're talking early 1800s. And this guy, at a very late hour, was walking up the Akasaka Road in Tokyo, up a slope called the Kino Kunizaka. And there is an ancient moat, which was very deep and very wide, with very high banks on it. And as he was passing that, he saw a woman crouching by the side of the moat, all on her own, crying quite a lot, weeping bitterly.
I know you should be sympathetic in that situation, but my suspicions are instantly aroused.
He was concerned, this guy. He was maybe...
You're a better man than me, this guy.
He said, "Oh, Jochu." I hope that's not a demeaning or offensive term.
Did he add that? Yeah. Very, very woke historical Japanese man.
"Tell me what the trouble is, and if there be any way to help you, I shall be glad to help you." And it says here, he really meant what he said, for he was a very kind man. Just to really sort of hammer it home you, it seems like.
Yes, I didn't realise the story was going to go out of its way to make me look bad.
And she continued to weep, hiding her face from him in her sleeves. And he said, "Please, listen to me. This is no place for a young lady at night. Do not cry, I implore you. Tell me how I may be of some help to you." And she slowly rose up with her back turned to him, continuing to moan and sob. And he put his hand lightly on her shoulder and said, "Listen to me, listen to me." And then she turned, dropped her sleeve, stroked her face with her hand, and the man saw that she had no eyes or nose or mouth.
Oh, what?
And he screamed and ran away. She was a... please correct me, Yuriko. She was a...
Noperobo.
Noperobo. Yes.
What's a noperobo? I'm not saying it right, but I'm scared. Noperobo?
Yeah, yes. Noperobo.
It's basically got no face. It's got a head with no features at all.
So, so not holes, not voids, but
no,
just blank.
Just smooth like an egg.
Yep.
Ooh, like my face.
But without beard.
Yeah, without the beard. My face without a beard. Completely blank and featureless.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, terrifying.
He ran away.
Yeah?
Unsurprisingly. He ran and ran, never looked back. Then he saw a lantern far away.
This is why you should never help anyone. Every one of these stories teaches the same lesson, and it's just don't help people.
Just please don't help
please
people.
Please don't help anyone.
Especially at night. But he saw a lantern, and he ran towards it, and it turned out to be the lantern of an itinerant soba seller. Soba's a kind of noodles, right? So this is basically a fast food vendor.
Very sophisticated around. Japan having fast food in like 1860.
Fast noodles.
Like the London equivalent would have just been a man in a hole with some hot fat, like some offal maybe, some tepid offal that he would have slapped you. He would have just slapped at you. With his hands. No implements, nothing. Just hand slapping.
So he got over to the soba seller.
Tuppence a slap.
And he's just flung himself down at his feet, crying out, "Ah, ah, ah." And the soba man said, "Kore, kore, here. What's the matter with you? Anybody hurt you?" He says, No, nobody hurt me. Only, Only scared you?" queried the peddler. "Robbers?" "No, not robbers. Not robbers. I saw a woman by the moat, and she showed me. Oh, I can't tell you what she showed me."
"Heh.
Was it anything like this that she showed you?"
Another.
Said the sobber man, stroking his own face, which therewith became like unto an egg.
It didn't become unto like an egg, did it, James?
And simultaneously, the light went out.
Terrifying. This is really scary. I thought there was going to be a fun monkey thing in it.
Nope. Just scary egg face people.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one. Another noperable.
Another noperable.
Or was it the same one?
Or just the same sort of one that's quite
getting around
fast
there before him?
Because I think the implication is that that was actually a tanuki pretending to be an operable in order to freak the guy out.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Right.
Tanuki. So it shapeshifted into a different monster.
Of course, that makes much more sense.
Cheeky. They're so cheeky. Do you want to hear of some famous other tanuki?
Mm-hmm.
There was Borzu Tanuki, which seemed to sort of haunt a particular bridge, and you'd go over it and you'd get to the other side and your head was shaved.
Skinhead Bridge?
Skinhead Bridge.
Wow.
The Shirodokuri, the white wine bottle, it would disguise itself as a wine bottle. When you went to pick it up, it would roll away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tanuki disguised as bottle.
These tanuki sound quite mischievous, a lot less helpful than the tanuki outside the shop that you were describing, who seemed like quite an industrious member of civil society.
Mm. Yeah,
these guys sound quite annoying.
Yeah, where's that eight traits?
Yeah.
Eight traits score.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know.
What about financial prudence? You can't make a living pretending to be a bottle and then just rolling away from people. How are you going to monetize that?
I don't know, actually.
What a ridiculous talent.
Excellent questions all.
What do you do for a living? Do you really want to know? I pretend to be a bottle of sake and just roll away.
I shave people's heads. For money? Nah, just if they cross a bridge.
Any bridge? No, just one bridge.
Just briefly, so just so you don't sleep easy at night, do you want to hear about some more recent sightings of the Noperabu?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm saying that right?
Yep.
Noperabu?
Noperabu.
One of the more recent sightings was in 1959 in Hawaii at a drive-in movie theatre. Someone said they saw one in the lady's bathroom, which I guess would be quite easy to spot because of the mirrors.
How do we know it isn't a bald person facing the other way?
Good question.
Perhaps a woman who went over that bridge on her way to Hawaii.
Just back.
Yeah, it could just be the back of someone's head. Have we definitely ruled out it being the back of someone's head? It could have been Moby.
And they're just wearing the wig on your face.
Yeah, it could have been Moby wearing a wig on the front of his face. It could have been. He could have had a normal wig on and sneezed, causing the wig to flip.
Well, in 1981, Glenn Grant, a Hawaiian historian, folklorist and author, dismissed the story as a rumour on his radio show, only to be called by someone claiming to be the actual witness.
Wow.
Who gave more details on the event, including the previously unreported detail that the Noperabo in question had red hair. Alistair, a featureless face.
Featureless and face red and red hair. Yeah.
Could easily have been you.
It could have been me. It could have
very
been anyone.
Much well have been you.
Could have been me or Moby. We just don't know. Or Moby dressed as me.
Well, there you have it. Tanuki and potentially other Japanese folklore beasts.
I would say, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't want to be rude, but I would say, Japan, you need to sort your folklore out. Your categories are vague at this point. You've got one name for nine different things. Sort it out. And you've got some of them pretending to be other supernatural entities. That's it's a mess, frankly.
That's what they're going to do, the shapeshifters. So, Alistair, are you ready to score us?
I'd love to. You sound really nervous there, Yuriko. Are you? You're not confident this time.
But go ahead. I'll accept whatever.
You'll accept my judgment. Thank you.
Whatever the, yes, score. I will hear.
No, Yuriko.
I love this. James is planning to argue, but Yuriko is planning to simply accept whatever scores are handed down without dispute.
Fine then. Okay.
So James, can we do any argument? No argument.
We're going to negotiate. We've got to negotiate it up.
Yeah. It's like Let me put this in Japanese terms. It's like Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney.
Object. Okay, then.
Okay.
Let's go. First category. Supernatural.
Well, it's got to be high, hasn't it?
It's got to be.
It's a 5 out of 5 for Supernatural.
Yes.
It's spookiest.
Japan, to my knowledge, and it's based purely on this podcast, is a magical land full of incoherent and wonderful things.
Yes. Okay, then. Category the second, naming.
Names.
Yes.
All right. Now, a lot of them were in Japanese.
A lot of them were.
Lafcadio Hearn, great name. Your classic Greek-Irishman's name.
Yep.
Lafcadio Hearn. Mm. That's a good name, and I understand all of the noises in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Noporobo? Noporobo? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Noporobo.
I think it's good, but it's mainly because I'm associating it with the fear that story instilled.
Oh, yeah.
It's a name that spreads a chill throughout your bones and blankens the face.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Or a back face.
Or the back of a bald man's head, yeah. But equally frightening. Why is he walking away? What have I said? Have I said something to upset Moby? It's a tense situation. Maybe he's just going to get my honey and he'll come back. We don't know.
Why is Moby getting honey?
Honey, come back. Sometimes it's just probably the most famous song that he did.
Oh, I don't know enough about his songs.
Sample. He sampled it. Someone else said that. Anyway.
I don't think I've ever understood what the words were.
I think it was Get My Honey, Come Back.
What's the other one, Troublesome Guy? Oh, Lord, Troublesome Guy.
I don't think it's a Troublesome Guy.
Being a Troublesome Guy.
I don't think that's the words.
Oh, no, my words, a Troublesome Guy. No? I'm pretty sure it is. It's, oh, Lord, Troublesome Guy.
I think it's Trouble So Hard.
That makes more sense than Troublesome Guy, does it?
Troublesome Guy.
I tell you who is a Troublesome Guy. Moby wearing a ginger wig across his face, walking around backwards.
In Hawaii in the 50s.
You weird man. Why are you doing this? Get out.
Troublesome Guy.
He's a Troublesome Guy. And you know who else was a Troublesome Guy? The raccoons. What were your names? What other names were there? Moby, Lafcadio Hearn.
There were the Tanuki.
The Tanuki, Virginia, great name, as in Tanuki Mario.
The
Tanuki Mario.
Least Weasel.
Least Weasel.
The Least Weasel.
Forget it. I'm rendering my verdict. It's 5 out of 5.
Yes.
And that is entirely because of the Least Weasel, the smallest dog.
Least Weasel. Whatever it is.
I mean, think of the anxiety that guy already feels. And to name it the Least Weasel. I can't believe I've come in so... These scores are so high. I'm going to have to toughen up. I'm putting on my game face, which is a blank, noparabo, blank face.
Oh, yes. Gulps. It's like being sat behind Moby at the cinema.
Oi, Moby, flick your fake hair to one side, please. For your benefit as much as mine.
When you play poker, can you put noparabo face?
It's just gone, yeah.
Uh-oh, it's eggs. Mm. It's old egg again.
Uh-oh, it's eggs. That's what they say when they play me at poker. It's eggs.
The next category is symbols of financial prowess.
Ooh, they were hefty.
Mm.
Mm. They were bold. They were spherical. They were briefly golden.
Uh-huh.
They were magical. I'm pretty certain I remember in Pompoko, at one point they turn into a blanket and everyone sits down on the blanket.
Yep.
And then disgustingly, he sucks them back in like you would, like a measuring tape, he just retracts it. And I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. Put the DVD straight off.
Really?
You can't put that in a kid's film. Yep, that was it for me. It's like, no.
He boasted that his financial prowess was 8 to Tammy Matt's big.
What?
So they're all sat on it and they're like, you like that rug you're sitting on?
Oh, yeah. Carpet.
It's actually my financial prowess.
What? And he retracted it inside himself. So I feel like it should be a high score. On the other hand, the item that we're referring to classically comes in twos.
Mm.
So I feel compelled by the rules of the game to give you a two. Two financial prowesses. It's what he's got. I mean, they're a big two. But there are two of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's backfired. I thought that's my fault, Yuriko. I apologize.
It's okay.
This is the first time James done the podcast, so, you know, let's give him a break. Final category?
Final category. You remember, before we had the human-faced dog, now we've got the non-faced human.
Okay.
Ooh.
A turnaround. The yep. non-faced human.
Wow. Yes. Which was also technically a raccoon dog. It's a non-faced human raccoon dog.
It's all about face.
Or badger.
So it's the inverted Jin Man Ken.
I think so. I think this is the anti-Jin Man Ken.
Oh, so if they fight.
Yeah, I guess if they're natural enemies.
They must be.
The Nobara will not leave the Jin Man Ken alone.
And the Jin Man Ken is cursed to have a human face and emotions. The Noprabo's going around going, you don't know what I'm thinking.
Whoa.
But also, the Noprabo cannot even eat any rubbish because it hasn't even got a mouth.
You can't snuffle without a nose either, can you?
Wow.
So how many Noprabo did we have? We've got the first woman, the woman, who I have to say, I was immediately suspicious of. I thought she was a raccoon or something and she was going to have a monkey's face. Oh, no, not a monkey. What are they, dogs? Raccoons.
Maybe a raccoon.
Raccoons. They're raccoons. And then there's the soba seller. Very convenient, but terrifying.
Yes.
So three, maybe? Three out of five? Because there were three?
There were three, as far as we know.
Oh.
Because they could be anywhere.
They could be anywhere.
In fact, Alistair, I've turned my camera off for this. I imagine if I could reveal myself to have an egg for a face.
That'd be so terrifying. Have you set that up?
No, I haven't actually. No. I've just thought about it now.
It would have been chilling. I think... What is that? What are we seeing?
It's my thumb.
That's your thumb?
It's my thumb.
Wow. How you've...
I just put it near the camera.
Yeah.
Did it look like this thumb? Oh, it's easy to do on a Zoom call, actually. You could be a Noprabot. Any one of us could be a Noprabot on a Zoom call.
I'll make it a four, James, because you went to the trouble of impersonating a Noprabot yourself. Yes. James, why are you crying?
Did it look like Moby?
No, it's Moby wearing headphones facing the other way.
Which, to be honest, is a view a lot of people have seen.
Yep.
Troublesome guy. Alistair, that is not the name of your Edinburgh show this year.
No. No, it's not.
But Yuriko, you are going to Edinburgh with a show, right?
Yes. This is my work. Yuriko Kotani, date from 14th August till 23rd August, 10 days. Time? 1:55 p.m.
Choice.
And what else?
Location.
Location, Monkey Barrel Hive 2.
And vibes, a lot of fun.
A lot of fun and happiness.
Excellent combo.
Is that vibes?
Yeah, they're pretty good vibes.
Happiness.
I'd say.
Sounds great, yeah.
I just said it now because it came to my mind.
That's good. That's good. That...
Can I change the vibes?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay.
New vibes.
The vibes is okay. Vibes is fun.
Yeah.
And tanuki vibes.
Are you gonna pretend to be a wine bottle and then just roll away? It's the new viral marketing craze.
Just 5 minutes in, and I just do that, and then rest of the time, audience are just confused.
I think
there's a lot of buzz around this wine bottle rolling away show. It's really like it's clever comedy. You like it?
Yeah, everyone's
like it's not exactly funny because it's mostly a wine bottle just rolling away. The bottle finds it very funny, but
it keeps muttering about Moby.
Yeah. Yes.
So definitely go see that.
Go and see it.
Yes. I'll be laughing. Yes.
Thank you, Yuriko.
Thank you very much, Yuriko.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, yeah, Alistair, I think I got away with those repeated references to the
to the financial prowess.
Yeah, I think nobody really probably knew what you were talking about.
For want of a better euphemism, apologies for anyone with kids.
Or the ability to visualise things.
Yes. Oh, and if you want to get a whole bonus episode which features an extended bit of us all getting Studio Ghibli films wrong.
I started it.
A bit where I sing a song too lewd for the podcast.
But fortunately in Japanese.
Yes. Well, if you join patreon.com/lawmenpod, that'll tell you how to get all these things.
It's all waiting for you.
Well, when I finish editing and have uploaded it, which may take a couple of days. I turn the air blue.
Oh, yeah, that won't work because that hasn't happened in the podcast yet.
No, that joke will make sense later. They're screaming again, aren't they?
They are screaming a little bit, yes.